Good morning. Well, in this gospel today, we hear a pretty amazing story. It kind of paints this picture for us that our Lord has attracted so many different people by the various healings that he's been doing. And as we've been working through the Gospel of Mark, we keep hearing all of these different healing stories. And he's attracted a lot of attention to himself. And so today's gospel picks up with this situation. It says there were so many people gathered together around our Lord that no one else could get in. No one could get to him. It says not even around the door. And there was this paralytic man. And he had four people wanting to bring him to Jesus to be healed. They had heard all about these healings that our Lord had done. They knew not only that our Lord could heal him, but that he wanted to. And again, as we've been working through the Gospel of Mark, we've been hearing all sorts of different healings, and not just physical ones. We've been hearing exorcism stories where he's casting out demons and healing all sorts of other, perhaps we could call nowadays, mental or emotional, psychological illnesses. And so these four men, literally unable to get to Jesus because of the crowds, have this great idea. It says they opened up the roof above him. They go up to the roof of the house. They cut open the roof and they lower down the paralytic on a cot, because that was the only way they were going to get the paralytic to our Lord. And our Lord compliments them on their faith. It says Jesus saw their faith. And what does he do? He immediately heals the paralytic. And, you know, we as Catholic Christians get our marching orders from the Lord, and we follow his example. And we see here when our Lord went to heal this paralytic, he didn't ask him, how did you get paralyzed? He didn't say, what sins did you or your parents do to wind you up in this situation? He didn't say, what religion are you? Our Lord saw their faith, and he healed the man. And for 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has been following our Lord's example of healing people. And not just that, but for 2,000 years as a Catholic Church, we have been focused on the whole person. Unlike, and I don't want to sound like I'm picking on them, but unlike some of our Christian brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, unlike some of them who might just focus on getting to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that's not our only mission in this world. Absolutely, we are called to go out into the world and to preach the gospel and to bring people to Jesus and bring Jesus to people. That's our job, but doesn't end there. Our job is not just to announce, the message of Jesus Christ and just say, well, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you're fine and I've done my work. We're supposed to care for the whole person. You know, I know many of you looking around here, many of you are in the daily mass crowd. And as we've been working through the lectionary for the daily mass readings, we've been hearing from the letter of St. James, and he has talked, just on Friday, he was talking in that letter of St. James. He was saying, faith without works is not enough. He says, if you see someone who is naked and you don't clothe them, who is hungry and you don't feed them, and instead you just say, all right, well, stay warm and well fed, take care, and you don't provide for their needs, St. James says. He says, that type of faith is dead. This is the same point. Our job is not just, as a Catholic Church, our job is not just to take care of the spiritual side, so to speak. It's to take care of the whole person. Now, again, don't get me wrong, it's our relationship with God that, at the end of the day, is going to get us into heaven or not. It's, have we come to know and to love and to serve God, or haven't we? But we are called, following the example of our Lord, to take care of the whole person. And again, for 2,000 years, we as a church have been doing this. We've been running hospitals. We've been running universities. In fact, it was the Catholic Church. It was Catholic monks that really founded the university system. They were centers of learning, and people would come to them to learn. Founded universities, orphanages, homeless shelters, soup kitchens. For 2,000 years, we've been doing this as a church. And when we do it, we don't ask the people, what religion are you? And we don't say, well, tell me, how did you get here? What's the situation? We are called to serve them. And I want to talk briefly. I've been kind of itching to preach on this for a while, and I think many of you know where I'm going with this. I've been kind of itching for a while to preach on what's been in the news very recently. And of course, I wasn't able to last weekend because it was the Cardinals' appeal weekend, which is very, very important. But that had to, you know, I couldn't preach then. The weekend before that, I think, was the deacons preaching. Or no, the weekend before that, I was on retreat. The weekend before that, I think, was deacons. So I haven't had a chance to preach on this in a while. So I want to say something about this. I want to give Father John's two cents. And I will preface it by saying this. I cannot possibly say everything there is to say from the pulpit in a homily. It's not really the ideal place. We've had lots of information on that back table in the narthex, in the foyer of the church. I encourage you to check that out, educate yourselves. But let me just say a few things about this. Let's bring it back to how this started. How did we get to this situation? Well, I think it started when we started to get away from the idea of our constitutionally protected right of freedom to work, freedom of religion. Because you know what's happened? Have you noticed this? People have started calling it freedom of worship. It's not freedom of religion anymore, it's freedom of worship. It's a subtle change, very sly. It's a subtle change to suggest that, well, what you do in your church on Sunday, you're free to do that. You're in the church, that's fine. But don't take it outside of the church. And we say, well, wait a minute, this country was founded on principles of religion, freedom of religion, and this state especially, Maryland, good Lord. And now we're being told, well, no, don't bring it out into the rest of the world. If you want to believe and preach certain things in the church on Sunday, that's fine. But don't bring it out into the rest of the world. This little subtle change here, freedom of religion to now freedom of worship. And I think that opened up the door. Because once we say, well, our religion is simply a Sunday thing and we don't bring into the rest of our lives, that then opens up the door for this HHS mandate, the Health and Human Services mandate that we heard a few weeks ago now, how they have decided that there will no longer be this religious exemption, that universities and hospitals and all sorts of other institutions run by the Catholic Church, because they are not intended to serve only Catholics, and because their intention is not to preach the Catholic faith, they don't get the religious exemption. Apparently, those institutions are not Catholic enough to qualify for the exemption. And so, therefore, they will have to provide all of these different services that go against our beliefs. And let's talk about this for a minute here, too. Look at another little sly change that has happened. Pregnancy has become an illness. Did you know that? Pregnancy has now become an illness. And therefore, health care can be defined as anything that is going to prevent or heal the illness of pregnancy. And so if you're pregnant, well, we need to get rid of that illness, and so we're going to provide abortions. And if you want to prevent that illness entirely, we're going to provide contraception or sterilization. Because pregnancy is an illness, and we need to prevent that illness. It's part of preventative health care. There are certain words I would use if I weren't at the pulpit, but that's a lot of crap. That's mild. But look at how that happens. We change certain definitions. We change from freedom of religion to freedom of worship. We say, well, health care, you know, well, this it has to include these other things. And let me say something else about this, too. Because what we've been hearing in much of the mainstream media is that this is all about contraception. You know, they have those great logos that come on TV. You see this, like, you know, contraception pill dispenser and a crucifix. And it's like the Catholic Church and contraception. Boom, 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 boom. You know, this isn't about contraception, brothers and sisters. People would like to make you think that this is about contraception because the approach, again, very sly, The approach is, if we can turn this into a contraception issue, then we can kind of divide and conquer the Catholic Church, because all these Catholics are using contraception, right? And certainly if we can make this into a contraception issue, then we'll get them on our side. Well, you know what I have to say about that? Even if the entire Catholic Church was using contraception, even if each and every single one of you here disagreed with the church prohibition against contraception, against sterilization, against abortion, that's not the point. That is simply not the point. Contraception and sterilization, abortion, those are the presenting issues right now. But there are going to be other presenting issues coming down the way. We see it already happening with the Maryland State Assembly. They're pushing through the same-sex marriage, so-called marriage. How much longer before they're going to mandate that, you know, churches officiate those ceremonies? How much longer until they say, with any other issue, and they get involved in the internal affairs of the church? This is the issue. The issue is that we are being told that we're fine to do what we want to do in the church, at least for now, but how dare you bring that into the rest of the world? If you're running a university or a hospital or an orphanage or a soup kitchen or whatever, then that's where it ends. And you need to provide all of your employees with this so-called health care, because again, pregnancy is an illness now. You need to provide all your employees with that kind of health care, even though it goes against your own conscience. That's the point here. I don't care how many Catholics, well, I do care, but in this particular debate, I don't care how many of you, how many Catholics have a disagreement with the church teaching on contraception or abortion or sterilization or same-sex marriage. That's not the point. It's religious freedom. It's that we should not be told as a church to support that which goes against our teaching, to support that which goes against our own conscience. Oh, and then what happens? Then we get this accommodation. Oh, well, you're not actually going to have to pay for it. The insurance companies will just have to provide it for free. Right, well, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? Okay, fine, it's not going to be written in on the policy that we pay for, but they have to provide it for free. Well, to whom do you suppose they're going to pass on that cost? Oh, and what about the Catholic insurance companies? There's no exemption for them. If you're a Catholic insurance company, guess what? You're stuck with that bill. Or, as Cardinal Wuerl has pointed out in the letter that's come out from his office, and again, I encourage you to read those and the documents from the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, what happens if you're a large enough organization, as we are, the Archdiocese of Washington, that you are self-insured? So many organizations are. Well, then you're still stuck with that. So as we see, even this accommodation does nothing. Brothers and sisters, we as a church are called to take care of the whole person. That is our calling that we see very clearly today, and in this particular example, in the gospel. That is being challenged. And I don't want to sound like I'm picking on President Obama by himself, because he's not, I have to be very careful about this, because some people want to paint him as some kind of demon-possessed, or if at least he's not a demon incarnate, he's at least possessed by a demon. No. He is a child of God. He is wonderfully and fearfully created in God's image and likeness. And is he misguided on this issue? Yes. Are demons at work in all of our lives? Yes. Is there spiritual warfare going on around us constantly? Yes. And so I don't want to sound like I'm picking on one person or a certain administration, because this has been in the works for a while. The demons, the powers that be, do not want us as a church to keep doing what we are called to do. They want us to be as quiet and silent and small and ineffective as possible. And anything they can do to bring that about, anything they can do to quash our mission as a church. So I just ask all of us to pray. Pray for not just the president, pray for all of his advisors. Pray for discernment. Pray for clarity of mind. Pray for wisdom. Pray for mercy for this country. Pray for mercy for this state. Good Lord, everything that we're doing, sometimes I just wonder, Lord, just let's call it off. Come again in glory. Let's bring on the apocalypse. We have so messed this up. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but let's pray for all of these people. And especially as we approach Lent now, and we might begin to think about what we're going to give up for Lent, And again, I encourage you, just as a little side note, don't start thinking about Lent like next Sunday on the first Sunday of Lent. And, oh, what am I going to do this year? Start thinking about Lent today so that come Wednesday this week, come Ash Wednesday, you're ready to go for Lent. Be thinking now about those sacrifices. And if I could offer a suggestion, maybe offer up some of those sacrifices for this particular intention, for wisdom and grace and mercy. And let's pray that we as a church may stick together, and not just as a Catholic church, certainly there too, but that we may stick together with all of our other like-minded brothers and sisters who realize that the government doesn't have a place telling the church what to do.